This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride and Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. The commission, a couple of minutes. I want to tell you about the Bomarito Automotive family. They sponsor the show content of this program. If you're looking for an Audi, Infiniti, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Chevy, Ford, Honda, Mazda, Toyota, Volkswagen, Nissan, they sell them all at the Bomarito Automotive family. They sell the most cars in the state of Missouri every year. You can look it up. We are not lying about that. They are Missouri's number one automotive group. Bomarito will buy your car even if you don't buy from us. Download the all-new Bomarito app. New used inventory, schedule service appointments, and don't forget about the Bomarito Automotive Group 500, August 26th at Gateway Motorsports Park. They have that 10-year, 200,000-mile warranty, over 2,000 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, 10,000 vehicles in stock. There are locations in every neighborhood, 20 new car locations, and I believe they're up to 9 pre-owned car locations, which is absolutely unbelievable. Frank, Marshall isn't leaving Wichita. Wichita will leave the Valley. He's staying long-term. I'd hate to see that. I like Wichita State and the Missouri Valley Conference.
Just when they actually started to get good teams, Illinois State had a good run. Bradley a few years back when they made their Sweet 16 run. And so I'd hate to see that fall apart.
But I guess if he's thinking we go 17-1 and we get a 10 seed, what we maybe should leave this conference. I don't know. Joining us now is the commish. Commish, how is your brackets going right now? Because you are the master of that down there. How is your personal bracket going?
Well, I thought I would be really suave and cool and take a lot of upsets that first day. Well, as you recall, there were none.
Yes.
The first day. So that would be the end of my bracket right there.
Huh. Have you looked? Is any player or media member doing particularly well?
There were a few. The assistant chef is doing well. He had Villanova, though, so he's going to run out of gas here maybe a little bit. But he got off to a brilliant start. He won the first 20 games right off the bat, 16-0, 4-0. Then he was 34-2 after 3 days, and then he's fallen back a little bit. But I like his card. There's a few others that are working on the outside. Like, there's like 11 different or 12 different champions picked, so it's kind of wide open.
I heard John Mozeliak say on the Mighty Mox yesterday that he frowns upon your betting pool down in Jupiter, that he doesn't like it, in a kind of a joking way.
He does frown. He frowns at me a lot, actually, you know, on various matters. But I think he accepts the team bonding that's going on in this category.
Yeah, well, tell him to get to the Hall of Fame, then he can start frowning. All right. Much to discuss. Martinez, is he in and is Pham out? How do you see that as we speak?
Well, Martinez is hitting almost 400, or has been for most of the spring, and Pham's been hitting about 200. I think they'd be more comfortable with an outfielder of Pham's varied skills than Martinez's limited skills in the outfield. They really don't have an outfielder on the bench. They have three guys, good fielding outfielders, playing, and they have nobody else. Unless Pham is kept, Martinez would have to play some left and some right field. And if it came down to who had the better spring, well, there's no contest there. Martinez has had the better spring. Who would help him the most? That's a good question. I think Pham, despite all his strikeouts, is still capable of playing three outfield positions and running. And he's got some skills that Martinez doesn't have. So I guess Martinez has the lead. But in the long run, Pham probably does him more good.
And do you think because Martinez, a right-handed hitter, has done so well, and Pham, who's questionable for making the team right now, has anything to do at all with the fact that Matt Adams is getting a little bit of work in the outfield?
I think that's just kind of a corollary. I don't know that Adams is going to get a lot of work out there. You know, you get into a spot where if you play him, you'd have to take him out in the fifth or sixth or seventh innings if you were ahead. And Matt Adams, given his pinch hitting record and his ability to hit late in the games, I'd rather have him batting in the ninth inning than the first through the fifth inning. So that's going to be, I don't know if I'd play him all that much out there because he loses his bat right at the end of the game.
But let's just say that Adams does okay, and he is more athletic, he's fit, he's moving better, and they're facing a really good right-handed pitcher that a Grichuk may struggle against. You think there's a possibility we could see him get a start?
Well, sure. That's the scenario you hit on, probably a difficult right-hander like Scherzer or somebody of that ilk, Strasburg or DeGrom or one of those guys, the Syndergaard. So that'd be the ones I'd start. It's not very fair to Matt Adams. But that only starts to get against Hall of Fame guys like
yeah.
that. But still, I'd get them in the lineup. But that's the scenario I would envision, yeah.
Yeah, the good news, Matt, is you're starting today. The bad news is so is Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
What are you seeing with Dexter Fowler hitting 360 in the spring?
Well, he was hitting 460, so he's, I guess, regressed a little bit. But he's getting out a lot. He's working a lot of long counts. And this is precisely why they signed him, is to be that leadoff guy who starts the game off by seeing 8 or 10 pitches, whether he gets on or not. And most times he has been getting on.
Harrison Bader hitting 342. He's not going to make the team out of camp, is he?
I don't think so, unless you really had planned to play him a lot. If everybody was starting even and you didn't know that Harrison Bader had only been in AAA for half of a season, the other guys had been here for several years, you'd say, hey, this guy's on your ball club. But you don't want to do that to him. He needs to play in Memphis. And then if somebody gets hurt or there's a crying need to bring him up. I mean, you bring him up, you better play him because he doesn't do you any good just sitting on a bench.
How do you evaluate third base right now?
I was just thinking about that. I guess Peralta has the edge. I don't know who's playing. I haven't seen the lineup for tonight yet down in West Palm Beach. He didn't go yesterday to Orlando, so I don't assume he's playing tonight. I think he has the edge just because he's played more third base than Jerko. He's maybe a little better defender than Jerko. Jerko clearly has more power. Peralta might be the better average hitter. I think it's a close. I think Peralta would have to stumble badly in the last 2 weeks not to be the opening day at third base. That doesn't mean it's not going to be he's going to be opening day at third base on May 1st or June 1st, but April 1st, I think he is.
You know, I know it's nice for the Cardinals to take the public stance in the offseason. Well, we got to get more athletic. We have to become more defensive oriented, and that's what Colton Wong does. And I know you can't draw a lot of conclusions out of spring training, but if one guy's hitting 167, Colton Wong, and the other guy's hitting 280 with power, Jed Jerko, maybe this is not going to be Wong's position forever.
Well, not at 180, it won't be, no. He does give them superior defensive play and the ability to steal bases if he would get on base. You could see a little platoon action early in the season. That would give Jerko a chance to get in the lineup. And Wong is not any worse or better against left or right-handed pitching in his career. He's like 247 and 248, so there's no real numbers crying that he shouldn't bat against left-handers. He has the same against both sides, and not very much against either side, as it turns out. So I think you might see a little platoon, because Jerko, you don't want to lose him. He's your best power threat, and you want him to get some time.
Look, Colton Wong is a sweet guy. He's a nice person. He really cares hard, and I think he takes the failures a little bit tougher than most. You've spent time with him. What are you seeing? Is he upbeat, or what's he like right now?
Yeah, he seems okay. I don't see him torturing himself, and I know the pitchers would rather have him in there. A guy like Leak, for instance, needs to have that defense, and if Leak is pitching, Wong's going to get plenty of play. So all the infielders, for that matter, and Leak will pitch better if Wong is playing second base better and playing more often. Now, is there a number that he has to hit or reach base to keep him in the lineup? I don't know what that number is, but his on base is 309 for his career, I think. That's not good enough. And his average is 250 some or 248. I don't know. That's not good enough either. So this is going to be the last year, I think, that we dance this dance. Either he is or he isn't after this season. Either is their second baseman or he's not their second baseman.
What's the pitching battle for the final spot on the roster there?
I don't know that there is one unless you're exploring the fact that Lyons could be ready for the start of the season. I don't think he is. I mean, he pitched yesterday in an exhibition game. I was a little surprised that he pitched in a real game because you have to be careful about disabling guys if you they've been able to pitch. But I think if he doesn't isn't used any more this spring, they could legitimately disable him until he's a little stronger. Sokolovich is the way I like to pronounce that. I think that's what he told me one time. So I'm going to say Sokolovich is the last pitcher. I think he's your seventh reliever to go with five starters. I don't think he's out of options, first of all. And second, he's pitched very well. So there's two reasons to keep him.
All right, so starting pitching-wise, Lynn has got to be one of the stories of the spring with 14 innings, just two earned runs. Guys coming off Tommy John don't do it that effortlessly. He looks like he's the old Lance Lynn.
Well, you're right about that. In his case, he did pitch four minor league games last year, or three maybe, and they shut him down before they got to September. His Tommy John surgery was actually almost a year and a half ago now. So he's talking November of 2015 rather than, let's see, Marco Gonzalez, who had his last April. You know, he's not quite ready. So Lynn has had the extra 4 or 5 months to be in the position he's in. So I'm not never surprised by what he's done at all, given the fact that he had that extra time.
Waka, a rough last outing, but in general, it's been a really good spring.
Oh, he's been excellent. He's got that torque, you know, that downward torque where his ball starts high, ends up at the knees. He's got his other pitches working besides his fastball. He allowed a couple runs. Yeah, a couple changeups he left up the other day, a couple Mets hitters, or whoever they were playing. But it was... wasn't that bad, and he's been really good in most of his starts.
You know, normally a pitcher in spring training can't lose, because if he has a good outing, well, I'm feeling good, everything's going well, and if he has a bad outing, well, I'm just working on some things. I'm wondering if there's any concern at all for Adam Wainwright coming off the worst ERA season of his career and now with an ERA of 11 in the spring, or what do you think?
Well, of course, he got all those in two innings the other day. He'd only allowed two home runs, I think, the first inning that he pitched, the first couple runs pitched in the first inning. Then he had 8 scoreless innings in a row after that and looked very good. And the two innings the other day were not very good at all. So he's had 3 bad innings and 8 good ones. That's not too bad a percentage. Now, those two the other day were bad, but if he'd had another poor game before that, I think you'd start scratching your head and thinking it was really good the two times before that. So I think the next one is the one you look at more significantly. If he has another bad one, you think, well, okay, now let's go back to the drawing board a little bit and try to get him fixed here.
Trevor Rosenthal, how do you evaluate him so far?
Well, he's going to pitch tonight. He hasn't had much time, really. He's been in, I think, just 3 or 4 games. He was going okay the other day without any pain or weakness or anything in his lat area, but he was throwing a lot of pitches. We've been down that street before, so... he had the first two guys out in both of the two innings that he pitched, and then the next two guys walked in the first inning and got hits the second inning. He's allowing runs, but it wasn't exactly expeditious work. So I think we need to see more there. He's been a little rusty.
Yadier Molina having a great World Baseball Classic. Kamish, look into your crystal ball. What do you think is going to happen with Molina and a contract situation?
Well, I would be surprised if the Cardinals didn't re-sign him or make a terrific effort to do so. I do think Yadi wants to stay, and I know he wants to get whatever top dollar is for a man that's done what he's done, but we'll be doing the next things that he does at age 36 or 38. You know, you have to be realistic about that a little bit. But I think there could be a 3-year deal that could be done, maybe not this week or next week, but sometime before we get too far into the season. And I'm not worried about him catching 2 more years with Carson Kelly in the background. Carson Kelly will be fine. He'll learn. He'll catch more games as we go. Yadi's not going to catch 140 games a year all these 3 years, I wouldn't think. So I'm okay with him staying as long as at this position is his, as long as he wants it to be.
What do you make of Benji Molina saying about the Cardinals and negotiations with Yadier? I think it's really a shame. It's really sad that the Cardinals haven't gotten anything done with him. He's Yadier Molina, your guy that's been in the minor leagues and worn that jersey, sweat so many times, and you're thinking about 3 years, well paid? Come on, man. End quote.
Well, it'd be a little different if the agent had said that. Melvin Roman, that's his brother talking. He's talking as his brother. You know, he's not talking to his agent. And if the agent has a little bit more realistic grasp of the situation and is not at odds with the Cardinals at all, they're talking. They talk. I don't know if they're speeding every day or anything like that, but... Benji just got excited on the radio one time, and he tried to backtrack it a little bit the next time he spoke to somebody. But he's entitled to feel that way, but Melvin Roman does not feel that way, I don't think.
All right, we're going to tape something with you on television Wednesday in Jupiter, so I want to make sure that your wife is picking out the outfit that day, okay?
Well, she picks out outfits most days, actually, so you got a pretty good chance of being right that day.
Good to hear. Commish, see you in a couple of days. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Frank.
All right, the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. Yeah, he's, you know, he looked like a sports writer for a long time, and now he looks like a really sharp, stylish guy, and you know she had everything to do with it. She's actually an interior decorator and a beautiful woman, and she just made the commish look very stylish. All right, let's see. We're going to get to some texts and some phone calls in a couple of minutes. But before we go to break, I do want to tell you about Winning Streak. Yes, Winning Streak. Every time I look at a high school basketball coaching staff and they're really like looking sharp, looking real fit, looking stylish, I think to myself, I wonder if Winning Streak. You know what? Parkway Central was like that the other day. Let's see. Clayton was like that the other day. All these high schools, Lutheran South, all these high schools think, you know what? Why not get the best possible service? Why not use the best possible gear and go with Winning Streak? So if you're looking for a place to outfit your teams, your coaching staff, your schools, go to Winning Streak's website. They're in Dupo, Illinois. They are the best at what they do. We want to give out a Communicator of the Day award winner when we come back. So get those phone calls and text in right away.